Welcome to another episode of the Pastor's Inbox on the Man of God Network, brought to you by Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary. It is our privilege to record these podcasts to serve our audience, and we hope that these conversations on pastoral theology, practical Christian living are a blessing to you. And it is my privilege to get to talk this morning, at least when we're recording this, it's in the morning, with Pastor Joe Wilson and Pastor Lee McKinnon. And this conversation, we're going to be having a follow-up question that was prompted by a conversation that we previously had led by Pastor Joe on reforming a church. So here's the question in part as it was submitted to us. It reads as follows. I had a follow-up question to your latest episode. Since you all recommend not seeking to reform someone else's church, how do you reconcile that with Paul going town to town to all the synagogues as a Jew to try to convert them? I hope you would all agree that most churches, he puts in quotation marks, in America aren't even preaching the gospel anymore. He mentions the First Baptist Church near where he lives, doesn't talk about anyone's need of salvation even. Did Paul just talk to the leadership in trying to reform? Maybe I just answered my own question, but my heart goes out to all the people who prayed the sinner's prayer but are still on the way to perdition. That's the question as it was submitted to us. Brothers, how would you respond and answer this question?
Well, we're grateful for the follow-up question, and it certainly does address an important concern. But having said that, Paul's evangelistic endeavors in the synagogues could hardly be likened to what we addressed in that previous podcast about reforming a church. I mean, the comparison breaks down in several ways. I mean, obviously, Paul was an apostle, so he's got a unique authority. But then also, you know, Paul was a recognized Jewish teacher. When he comes to Antioch in Pisidia, verse 15 of Acts 13, they send word to Paul and to Barnabas after the reading of the law and the prophets, brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. So there was something recognizable that Paul and Barnabas were rabbis or teachers or whatever the case might have been. But then Paul did say on, and he took the opportunity to explain the gospel from the scriptures right there in that synagogue. And this was very in keeping with Paul's God-given mission. You remember how Paul more than once talks about he was to take the gospel first to the Jews. Well, that's what he was doing. He was taking the gospel to the unconverted. So what he did in synagogues was not a work of reforming the church. It's a work of missionary endeavor or evangelism. And therefore, what we address, reforming a church and his labors, are not apples to apples. And I do think it's noteworthy that there in Acts 13, that Paul was asked by the leadership to speak. He didn't just barge right into the synagogue and let's have a go here. And that might not have been an isolated incident. Luke, writing about what happened in Thessalonica, is that Paul, as his custom was, went to them for three Sabbaths and reasoned there from the scriptures. There was at least some open opportunity, whether it was he was approved, asked, or simply allowed by the leaders of the synagogue. The point is, he wasn't going around in some kind of whisper campaign. You know, let's go in here covertly and then we'll kind of overturn things. And there's no reason to think that Paul was attacking the leaders. He's simply opening up the scriptures as opportunity was there. Now, true it is that there might be many false professors in a church, and especially if the gospel is compromised or not declared, whether it's easy believism or the carnal Christian heresy or, you know, other errors that promote false professions. And for those who have been impacted by that kind of error, well, it is certainly right to evangelize these individuals, and that especially one-on-one, you know, just make the gospel clearly known. If a church has so departed from the gospel as to be, to use the language of Revelation, a synagogue of Satan, Well, in a very real sense, you go to that place, you're not reforming it. That's, again, the work of evangelizing. And yet, even in that connection, I would have to say this. Could one be a member and truly worship God in such a place with a good conscience? If it's a synagogue of Satan, yeah, you're going to reform a church. This is really not the place I would think you should go in good conscience to worship, to be a member, and the like. But now, if it's a true church, and okay, it's got its problems, but notwithstanding the problems, it is a true church. Well, is it right to go there for the express purpose of reforming it, not having been called there as a pastor who's made his differences known, but rather going in as a member, going in uninvited, and in that sense, even seeking to undermine the leadership? And whether on purpose or not, it'll have the effect of introducing divisions as a member of that church. Well, that to me raises all kinds of questions. How does that fit with so many texts that we have in the New Testament, like Ephesians 4:3, which is addressed to church members about preserving the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace? And then Paul goes on to write the things even all believers would have in common. Or 1 Thessalonians 5, Hebrews 13, where we're told to submit to those who have the rule over us and to esteem them highly in love for their work's sake. If you're a member of that church, you're still obligated to do that. Well, if you're undermining those pastors, those leaders on purpose, are you really being consistent with these commands? But then beyond all of that, I think going among a church, going against it for its errors, I can't imagine that's the most likely or effective way to bring about reforms. Probably bring a lot of problems on yourself or in that church. And would there not be better fields in which to labor, or doors that are more open for reforms? And then you've got other texts like, what about casting your pearls before swine and giving that which is holy to dogs? We're told not to do that by our Lord. And I ask this as a question. Proverbs 6:19, does that come to bear? Does it have any relevance? God hates the sowing of discord among brethren. That's one of those things he hates. Or what about Romans 12:17 about we're to do that which is good and proper in the eyes of all? Well, is that really good and proper to do that? I'm asking more questions in that sense than giving answers, I suppose, because I know Joe's going to give the answers. So, Joe, I throw this to you.
Well, I think your questions are answer themselves pretty much so, because the scriptures are plain. You know what? One thing I appreciate about the brother who submitted the question is he's concerned about lost people, and we should be, because he talks about Paul trying to convert people. And then his last statement, my heart goes out to all the people who prayed the sinner's prayer but are still on the way to perdition. And he mentions the church near him that doesn't even talk about the need for salvation. So I would just say any and every lost person needs to hear the gospel. And Paul knew that and sought to get the gospel to them by every legitimate means. And we also should use every means within our power to get the gospel to the lost. And I'll just say to this brother who submitted the question, whatever we said about taking care not to reform someone else's church does not contradict or interfere with the duty of evangelism. Yeah. We, like Paul, are debtors. Paul said in Romans 1:14, I am a debtor, the King James says. I am under obligation, both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. And I might add, both to those who are in a church and those who are not in the church. We are under obligation. So he says, for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation. So we need to remember, we certainly did not mean to imply that you should never seek to witness the truth to someone who's a member of another church. It actually would be sinful neglect if we fail to give the gospel to someone just because they've got their name on a church roll whether it's a good church or whether it's a bad church or whether it's a church that ceased to be a church. We are debtors to give the gospel to people. If a church is not preaching the true gospel, then I would say, as you have said, Brother Lee, don't seek to overthrow it in a sinister, non-biblical way. Seek to convert those who may be lost who are part of that church. Give them the gospel in the workplace. Give them the gospel in your neighborhood. Give them the gospel in the public square. And when you see conversions, then you can plant a church full of gospel life right next door to that dead church and put it out of business if you can. We want every plant that the Heavenly Father has not planted, we'd like to see it plucked up by the roots, as Jesus said would be the case. So let it be known here that I do not have any sympathy for a false gospel. I do not have sympathy for false prophets. I do not have sympathy for false churches, except that I would love to see them come to the truth and be saved. Keep in mind that Paul was given an open door, as you said, Lee, to preach the gospel in many towns, in many synagogues. And when he was given, he didn't take it by force. When he was given that opportunity, that's exactly what he did, and that's what he should have done. I'll say to this, brother, if a false church by any denominational label, if a false church gives you an opportunity to preach the true gospel, take it, brother. By all means, take it and be plain and be bold. But I see this, as you do, Lee, as different from seeking to take over a church by unscriptural methods. To be clear, I see a great difference in trying to take over another church by secret and underhanded methods and going everywhere you can to convert sinners and then plant true churches made up of those sinners who have been converted by the gospel that you have preached. So those are my thoughts on the matter. Let me say, I appreciate so much the brother's question. Yes. And since we would like to scratch you where you itch, if this doesn't clear anything up, then give us another question and we'll keep trying to answer until we get it right. Okay, back to you, Lee, or to you, Austin.
To you, Austin.
Well, thank you for bringing out these distinctions between the different topics that you really addressed in different conversations. I do hope that it has brought our questioner to ease with these different conversations that we've had. And thank you, brothers, for your answers to this question, this follow-up question on reforming a church. And as Pastor Joe just mentioned there, if you guys have any other questions as you listen related to any of these subjects we've been talking about, please feel free to submit them to pastorsinbox@cbtseminary.org. Stay tuned for the episode that we'll release 1 week from now for another follow-up question on a different subject. Grace and peace to you. God bless.